This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.
Welcome to CRC Talks 3. This is a five-part series covering everyday life, focusing on young people with disabilities.
My name is Dervla Brophy and I work as the Communications Manager for Veolia Transport, and Veolia is the operator of the Luas. So myself and my colleagues, and also the Railway Procurement Agency, because they're the agency, they're the government agency that have responsibility for the Luas. So there's a team of people, and what we are responsible for is communicating to the Luas passengers, but also to the City of Dublin, to people who aren't Luas passengers. We have responsibility for communicating all about the Luas service on both the Red Line and on the Green Line. And then I also do the internal communication for Veolia Transport as well.
What advice can you give to a person with disabilities using the Luas for the first time?
Well, the first thing I would say to you is that the Luas is a very accessible system. And it's at the core, actually, of the whole entire system, from the design phase right through to the construction. And now that it's in passenger service over 8 years, the system is very accessible. But if somebody is using it for the first time, what I would suggest to them to do is to research the lines. There's the Red Line, and that will run from the Point out to Tallaght and also now to City West. And then there's the Green Line, and that runs from St Stephen's Green out to Cherrywood. So look up the two lines, look up where you're travelling, look up how long you think it will take you, and allow a bit of extra time as well. Because although it's very accessible, if you know where you're going, and obviously we know where we're going, it's going to work for both of us.
Would you suggest someone for the first time would use it off-peak?
That's a very good suggestion, if somebody is actually using it for the very first time, that they would use it off-peak, because regular Luas users know that in the peak time in the morning and in the evening time, the very nature of light rail is that it can get quite congested at times. So if you are a first-time user, absolutely, try it out and use it off-peak. So I'd suggest maybe from about 10 o'clock in the morning up until about 3:30 in the afternoon, or again maybe at night time or at the weekends. Sunday would be a good day.
Are bikes allowed on the Luas? If not, can you tell us why?
A lot of people actually ask that question, so I'm glad you asked me that question. Bikes at the moment are fold-up bikes are allowed on the Luas. But if you don't have a fold-up bike, you can't bring your bike on board the Luas. And one of the reasons why that is because it's to allow other people who are using the Luas to be able to board it with ease, and also to be able to get off the tram with ease. And some people, and it's a debate, some people think that bikes may be an obstruction and other people don't agree with them. So for the moment, we have a situation whereby we say only fold-up bikes.
We feel the doors on the Luas close too early for wheelchair users.
Okay, well, thank you very much for telling me that. And I can bring that back as feedback to the drivers in relation to the doors closing for wheelchair users. And as somebody else said as well, not just wheelchair users. One of the great things about the Luas is it's accessible to everybody. That's the way it was designed. So maybe other people are experiencing that issue. But I certainly can bring that feedback to the drivers. There is, though, a mechanism built into the doors that when the doors are shutting, if they do detect an obstacle within them, that they won't, they will try to close up to 5 times, and if the obstacle is still there, the doors will open and then the tram is not able to move. So that is a safety mechanism built into the trams. So I suppose on one level it can be reassuring to people to know that there's no way the tram can move if it detects that there is something in the doorway.
Does the Luas offer travel assistance for people with disability?
Yes, the Luas does offer travel assistance for people with disability, but one of the wonderful things about it as a system is that a lot of people with disability are able to use it actually without the assistance. But certainly, if anybody would like assistance, what we do have is all our staff are trained in disability awareness, and you can just call the free phone number, which is 1800 300 604. You'll get through to Luas Customer Care, and Luas Customer Care will be able to put you in contact with the right person. So yes, we do.
We think the colour of the Luas blends into much with the buildings and can have a glare in the sun, which can affect people with visual impairments.
The Luas, a number of years ago, had a visibility strip put around the outside of it. And I know other people have raised that point as well. So once again, that's feedback that you've given me, so I can go back. It's more of a question for the Railway Procurement Agency, because they are the people who procure the trams for the City of Dublin, and they would be very interested in knowing that feedback. The trams are themselves, they have a number of handrails within them, and there's also a lot of signage within it. And we would say to people, for your comfort, obviously, if you can sit or if you are going to stand, hold on to a handrail. There is, as you have described it, as the connection between the two carriages, and there is that revolving floor, as you have just said. But what we would say to people is, for their comfort and their passenger journey, it's best if they actually use the handrails that are on board the tram, and they are high visibility rails, and they are very yellow.
Are there clear visual signs and vehicles about the danger on the tracks?
The Lewis system is signed both within the carriages themselves and also on the tracks. All the infrastructure is signed. So there's signage there for the driver who's driving to tell him what speed he should be driving at in a particular area. And there's also signage for other motorists who are using the road, other road users, to say that this will say is a tram designated area only. And that means that you shouldn't be there either in your car or you shouldn't be there as a cyclist. So it's very well signed.
Is there any integrator travel pass to use on public transport, and if not, why?
There is actually, there is a card, it's called Leap Card, and it's brought out by the National Transport Authority. And the National Transport Authority have, you could say, brought together the Lewis, Irish Rail, Dublin Bus, Bus Éireann, and so all customers are able to use the Leap Card with all of those services.
Can you tell us about any future plans? Will the Lewis link from north to south?
Well, at the moment, and a lot of people know this, there's the red and the green line and they don't connect. It's a 12-minute walk between the two stops from Abbey Street on the red line to St Stephen's Green on the green line. But the Railway Procurement Agency have secured planning permission to build a new line called Lewis BXD, which is going to connect St Stephen's Green with the Abbey Street stop on the red line, and it's going to go out as far as Broombridge and back in again. The plan is to connect the two lines, the Lewis BXD project.
Thanks for coming in today, Deirdre.
Thank you for inviting me.
Myself and Connor talked to Roger Flood from Dublin Bus. Hello, Roger. Thank you for coming in to talk to us today.
Thank you, Nikita. It's a pleasure, and thank you for asking me.
Roger, can you tell us, what does a travel assistant do?
What a travel assistant does is, when he meets someone for the first time, he finds out what journey it is that they'd like to do. And basically what I would do is, for argument's sake, if somebody would like to do a journey from here to O'Connell Street, what I would do is I would do the journey first, working out all the safety issues in terms of footpaths, in terms of bus stops, where we get off in the city. And then if you were going to Cleary's in the city, well, then I would work out the journey from the bus stop where we get off to the front door of Cleary's. That's basically what I would do. Then I would come back and I would report back to you and say, this is the journey that we're going to do. This is the reason why we're doing it. This is how long it's going to take. And then I would invite you to start working with me towards travelling independently. Just in terms of what a travel assistant does, he works with people over the age of 18 and helps them towards travelling independently on Dublin Bus, Lewis and Dart.
Are you the only travel assistant employed for Dublin Bus?
Yeah, I am the only travel assistant at the moment. We're very, very busy in terms of the amount of people that want to use the service. But the waiting list would be roughly around 2 to 3 weeks, all depending on what time the person wants to use the service. If it's early in the morning, the waiting list would be 3 weeks. If it's midday or during the day, it may be a little bit shorter. Once people give me loads of notice, they usually get to use the service at the time they want to use it.
It's a very good service. And why is there not any more people employed as travel assistants?
One of the reasons would be is because we're talking about now at the moment where there's a 3-week waiting list.
Yeah.
But there could be certain times during the year where there wouldn't be anybody waiting, because it all depends on the time of year and the demand for the service itself.
How long does it take to train a person to use transport independently?
It all depends on the person in terms of their confidence and their skills. What Dublin Bus offer is they offer 5 return journeys And at the end of that, if I still see that the person has the potential, but there's one or two issues that we still have to work on, I will continue to work with the person until they are travelling independently. The most important part of my job will be the person's safety. If it's a case that some people would take maybe six, we say, well, then I would do the six with them, knowing that that would be the key to them travelling independently.
I already answered this question. I'll ask them anyway. Is a travel assistant only for the bus, or do they assist other forms of public transport?
What Dublin Bus provide is they provide a travel assistant, and the travel assistant will cover Dublin Bus, Lewis and Dart, anywhere that serves within the Dublin area.
Is there a cost involved to use the travel assistant scheme?
There is no cost involved whatsoever. It's a free service. But what Dublin Bus ask is that at the end of your training, that you write in and you just give your honest opinion of what you thought of the service.
Do you work Monday to Friday or weekends?
No, I only work Monday to Friday between the hours of 8 in the morning and 6 in the evening. A lot of people at the start, when I start working first, a lot of the people would have been ringing me and saying to me that they want to use the service on a Saturday and a Sunday. And unfortunately, at that stage, I was still learning myself in terms of every part of the job. So I was saying, sorry, no, it's only available Monday to Friday. And then just happened one week, somebody rang me and said to me, I want to use the service on a Saturday. And I was saying, and what's the journey that you'd like to do? And they said, well, I'd like to go into town and meet my friends. And so the offer I gave them was that we work on that journey Monday to Friday. And then when it comes to going to meet their friends on the Saturday, they'd be able to do it independently because of the work that they've done on the Monday to Friday.
How can a person avail of the travel assistance scheme?
In the early days, it would have been by ringing Dublin Bus head office, giving Dublin Bus the information regarding the journeys that they want to do, and then that's passed on to me. But a lot of it now is word of mouth, so people that I would have worked in the past now are ringing back, or they're passing their number on to other people, and everybody is just ringing me. But for somebody that's new that wants to use the service, if they got in touch with Dublin Bus, and the number I'll give you is at the end of the show. Also, you can email Dublin Bus at travelassist.ie, and that information will be forwarded on to me.
Did you need Garda clearance for your job?
Yes, I did. And again, with some people that I work with, they would ask me that question, how I got Garda clearance. And basically what it is again is I had to get Garda clearance for Dublin Bus, and then Dublin Bus have that information. So if you just got in touch with Dublin Bus, they would be able to give you that information. The number is for my manager, Dolores Henshin, and she will be the one that will take all the information and then will pass it on to me. And the number again is 703-3204. She will pass it on to me, and then I will get in touch to find out what sort of a journey it is that you want to do and explain how it works.
Thanks, Roger, for coming in. I'm sure the listeners appreciate the information. Brendan Cushing came into the Near FM studios to talk about Dublin Bus and how they work with people with disabilities. Can you tell us a bit about your role in Dublin Bus?
Okay, well, I've been with Dublin Bus now 10 years. I work in the media and communications department. So our department would handle a lot of event organisation. We do that. We organise interviews, we organise sponsorship, and then all corporate and social responsibility initiatives come under the jurisdiction of my department. We run a community grant scheme called the Dublin Bus Community Spirit Awards. That's where we give local grants to local volunteer groups and charities in the greater Dublin area. It's funded through long-term unclaimed passenger change. On top of that, we also run a school's education programme. It came about in, I think it was 2002. It was to promote a respect for public transport amongst our younger users. It was began as a respect public transport, don't vandalise it programme. So we have designated school coordinators who visit schools around the Dublin Bus catchment area, and they go in and they talk about Dublin Bus and, you know, kind of way, you know, the role that public transport has to play and why we should respect it. And the aim of it is about just, you know, promoting the issue of respecting your bus. You know, it's here for everybody. So every year then they have an annual poetry and art competition, and the theme is usually about, you know, respect public transport, it's here for everybody. And some of the winning entries then get published in a calendar which we get produced each year.
Does staff at Dublin Bus get disability awareness training?
I can confirm, yes, they do. Dublin Bus has a designated accessibility officer whose name is Dolores Henshin. Dolores meets with user groups four times a year. They would include the CRC, the Irish Wheelchair Association, Age Action and Deaf Ireland, amongst others. What they would do then is they would discuss concerns that they would have, you know, with the service itself. Based on those concerns, we produced a accessibility awareness training DVD back in 2007, which is part of all Dublin Bus driver training. And Dolores meets with them four times a year. So if there are any further issues that are identified, they are then fed back into human resources and then they are kind of incorporated into accessibility awareness training for all Dublin Bus staff. Training does go on an ongoing basis. So drivers are retrained. You know, Dublin Bus employee drivers and, you know, the frontline staff, they are retrained on a, you know, a regular yearly basis, and then accessibility awareness would be part of that training.
What's available for wheelchair users in Dublin Bus?
For wheelchair users, I mean, back in 2000, Dublin Bus made a commitment to have a fully low-floor wheelchair accessible fleet by 2012. So we're happy to say we're at this point, we're 92% wheelchair accessible, and we just received today the first 10 of an 80 replacement buses, meaning by the end of 2012 we will have a fully low-floor wheelchair accessible fleet. On top of that, wheelchair user groups part of the working group that meet with our accessibility officer Dolores Henshin, and they would feedback any key issues that they would have regarding using the Dublin Bus service. That in turn would be relayed back to human resources and operations, see if we could, you know, address these concerns, you know, and get them resolved. I'm not sure what the exact role is, but he kind of provides audits for Dolores. He would work closely with Dolores and give feedback.
How often are the ramps on buses checked?
Each morning before they enter service, every single Dublin Bus goes through a checklist. They're checked by our maintenance departments, and ramps would be one of the key checklists, you know, make sure that it operates. So they are checked on a daily basis.
When a bus ramp breaks, what happens?
If it happens in the middle of service, there are a couple of options available. Sometimes a driver can radio ahead to the garage to see if a replacement bus can be sent out. Or failing that, we also have a mobile ramp. Do you ever see the Dublin Bus inspectors that go around in cars? They do fare checks and the like. That, you know, we've a team of them. They have a mobile ramp which they can arrange to meet up with the driver and bring the ramp out and allow the passenger disembark from the bus.
Why is it that not every bus stop have a shelter?
We're involved within bus shelters, but it actually comes, I think it's Clear Channel Ireland, they erect the shelters. So when we erect shelters, there are a couple of things we have to be clear of. We have to get planning permission, because it has to meet, there has to be criteria regarding the amount of space available. You know, sometimes there might be enough space on the path, you know, for us to allow it. On top of that, you know, when you get planning permission, people are allowed to object to planning permission, and that has been the case as well. We need to, in order to erect a shelter, we need planning permission and we need guards, a clearance. You know, we can apply for planning permission, but people can object, and it can be turned down on those grounds as well.
Why don't all buses have safety belts, including for wheelchair users?
Okay, well, two things now. It's actually, regarding urban bus companies, by law, they don't need to have seatbelts on buses. It's to do with them because they don't get over a certain speed, and due to the nature of the urban bus company, people are, you know, boarding and getting off, and people can stand downstairs in the bus, you know, the rail, so that's why they don't have them there. On top of that, I was actually talking to Lawrence about this before. Some bus companies have a strap where wheelchair users can use when they go into the wheelchair space. But we found out through the working groups we have with the wheelchair user groups that they didn't actually like that at all. They felt it hindered the user's mobility. So basically, there is a procedure for, you know, boarding the bus. The person boards the bus and then he parks his wheelchair with his back facing to the driver. So therefore, they don't need to have there is no need for a seatbelt.
Why is it Dublin Bus only have route for one wheelchair user?
By the end of this year, every single Dublin Bus vehicle will have a space for wheelchair users. Will be a fully accessible, low-floor accessible fleet. The reason for that is, well, there are spacing constraints, but there's also the fact is there are people, our service users, who may have, you know, mobility issues, but they might be in a wheelchair, you know, like older people or people, who can walk but would have a disability, and they need space to sit. Most old people, they can't make it up the stairs. People would have, they would have a physical disability, which which doesn't mean that they need to use a wheelchair. They need seats on it. So there is a, you know, there is a, you know, space and constraints. You know, there's not enough space on the buses. Now, we are trialling something. We were, as I was saying today, we got the first of it, 80 replacement buses today. And on 10 of them, we're doing a trial where there will be an additional space for buggy users. So based on the outcome, you know, the trial hasn't begun yet. We're going to ask Tane to see how it it will work. Basically, there'll be flip up seats, you know, to clear for a smaller buggy space.
Can you give an update on the 104 bus, which serves CRC and IWA?
Okay, well, some good news for Route 104 users. As I was saying, Dublin Bus received the first of 80 replacement buses today. They will actually be deployed on Route 104. It'll be one of the routes to be to get these new replacement buses. Part of these buses are they will have a wheelchair space with the yellow pole, because based on the findings of our user groups, people didn't like the mechanical deployable arm. There will be redesigned onboard signage, you know, regarding the issue of the wheelchair. It is priority for a wheelchair as well, a redesigned signage for that. The visual the signage regarding destination scrolls and the like, they were devised in conjunction with the working group. So, you know, they're maybe easy, they'll be more legible. People, you know, find them easier to read.
Thank you very much for talking to us, Brendan.
Here, Jane Cregan from Irish Rail tells us how the train works for people with disability.
The Belfast train is great. We used it a few times for group trips from the CRC.
Yeah, I suppose the Belfast train, it's beautiful, especially going up past Malahide and that. And the other thing is, I suppose it doesn't take that long to get to Belfast, so it's a good link.
The coastal route under there is beautiful.
Very beautiful. It's been compared to the coast in Italy, the section between Killiney and Bray. So it's great. And anyone who hasn't been, any of your listeners who haven't been on the Dart to Bray, I would recommend it, because it really is very pretty.
Trains from Dublin down to the country are expensive. Where is the money going?
Well, I suppose if you turn up at the booking office to pay on that day, you will pay the premium fare on that. But what I would recommend to your listeners would be that if you book in advance online, that you can get very good value for intercity services.
Could there be notices or signs put up for wheelchair users?
The majority of our stations now have lifts and ramps for wheelchair users to access the station, but there are areas where we could improve signage for wheelchair users, and that's something that we will definitely take on board.
How often do trains break down? Is there compensation available?
Well, our reliability is actually very good at the moment, and I just checked before we came out on statistics that 99% of the trains that we operate operated at year to date. Now, there can be situations where trains do break down and we can have delays, and people who are caught up in delays like that are entitled to compensation. On our website, there is a document called a passenger charter, and that's available at all stations too, and it gives you all the details of all your rights and entitlements if there is a delay to your service.
How do you deal with overcrowded on trains and lack of wheelchair spaces?
We work very hard to make sure that there isn't overcrowding on trains, but unfortunately from time to time it can happen. Supposing there's a big match on or a concert where there's more people travelling than normal, we can have situations, particularly on Dart and commuter services. On intercity services, there isn't as much instances of overcrowding, but I suppose the one way to ensure that you will get a seat is to reserve your seat online at irishrail.ie. With regard to wheelchair spaces, each carriage on every intercity service that we operate has a dedicated wheelchair space. So that can mean that that up to 8 wheelchair users can be accommodated per train to Cork, for example. So we do cater, and indeed a lot of wheelchair users do travel with us. I would recommend that you would ring in advance to say that you're coming, and wheelchair users, particularly who use Connolly and Houston Station, would be in contact with customer service teams there. They offer a dedicated service that gives priority boarding to wheelchair users and indeed to anybody who needs assistance when travelling.
Passengers from the north side have difficulties going from northeast to northwest.
From Cabra to Finglas, is it? That you're looking at there. It said, if you lived in Cabra, there's a station at Broombridge and there's also a station in Ashtown, which isn't that far from Cabra. So that would bring you, the Maynooth line comes in that way, and there's a very, very, there's a very frequent service on that line. So that could bring you to Connolly, and in Connolly you would change to a Dart then that would bring you out to Cillester or Clongriffin or anywhere on the north coast that you wanted to get to.
Is there a free travel pass scheme going to continue on for next year?
I would imagine that it will, but the free travel service is operated by the Department of Social Protection, so they pay us to take people who have passes that have been given to them by the Department of Social Protection. So it would be their decision to make if there are to be any changes to the free travel scheme.
Some people find the online discounts good, but other people don't find the service user friendly. And there's no one to answer calls when someone is experiencing difficulties.
Yeah, we do offer substantial discounts online, and we've invested a lot on our website to make it more user friendly. But anybody who is still experiencing difficulties, between 8 and 6 Monday to Friday, we have a dedicated customer service line that is manned by staff. That number is 1850 366 222, and you can book online. You can book services at the same price that you can get them online by calling that number. But it's just between 9 and 6 Monday to Friday.
What are the future plans for Irish Rail?
No more than anybody else, we've been hit by reductions in the amount of investment that the government is giving to us at the moment. But our long-term plan is to build a tunnel underneath Dublin city centre that would bring you from the Docklands down by the International Financial Services Centre all the way to Houston. And that would link services on the Connolly side and services on the Houston side. And we also hope to extend Dart trains to the Maynooth line and to the Northern line as far as Drogheda, and also on the Kildare line as far as Hazelhatch. That's our long-term plan, but it has been shelved at present because there isn't any funding for it. And we're also looking at providing a spur from Clongriffin to the airport that would give a rail line from Clongriffin to the airport, so people could travel to the airport by rail. The other big improvement we're looking at is intercity speeds, improving the time it takes to get to Cork, Galway, Limerick, Waterford and Sligo.
Thanks for talking to us today, Jane.
It was a pleasure to talk to you, Conor and Nikita. Thank you.
I like the way the questions we asked were laid out. I felt she responded well, because when someone goes to ask for them, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it's not, they're not always at the other side. The guys with the ramps aren't always there when you have to wait, if you kind of hold up the train. I think it's very disheartening. There isn't a number you can ring. You can ring the information desk and inform them. As a wheelchair user myself, I don't think that is acceptable. From what I can remember,
harder to get, don't, like, if you're looking for someone or to try and get someone to get them off the wall.
Yeah.
They're locked and they can't, and they're holding the train up for so long.
And people are waiting to go to work in the mornings, like.
You have to get someone to come down and get the ramp, and by the time you get to find that person to even come down,
be late.
The train's already in the station.
I think they should have two people probably working at the same time, but one person up at the desk and then one person who's where you have to wait for the train, but you're probably standing at the wall, you know, like where you have to sit and wait.
Beside
the shelter or something like that.
Shelter, yeah.
So they'd be able to unlock the ramp.
Yeah.
And they just even guard it or whatever, and just be able to access it and lock it back, and maybe do different shifts at the only. I think that could be something that would be good, because I've noticed the doors on the trains or the Lewis, they close very quickly. They don't give enough time. And some people have to hold the doors for the wheelchair users. The carriage does hold up a lot of, it has a lot of room and it's accessible, like, for moving about, even with having wheelchair users and people with buggies and things like that. There's a lot of room on the carriage, so there is loads of room to move about and things like that. How is somebody going to be able to access the train if they're in a wheelchair? How are they going to, like, I don't expect somebody to be able to lift the ramp from the wall and put it down and then wheel herself on and then expect the thing to be able to come up automatically and then go back to the wall. I'd prefer to use a bus. I would.
But if
I know you have the ramp that just automatically comes down, and you don't have to stand around waiting on someone to come and unlock a ramp from a wall and things like that. The new buses that are meant to be coming out, there's meant to be more room for wheelchair users. I heard that they mentioned that there's meant to be more room being put on the new buses.
It's not fair that they have to stand up in a wheelchair.
This is a collaborative project between CRC and Near FM.
This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.
Where do we go? Nobody knows. I've got to say, I'm on my way.